Morning. I believe God has something for each and every one of us. That's why we're here. And God is such an awesome God that he could look down at a congregation of a few hundred people and he could meet each and every need individually. That's what I love about my God. I have a personable God and he meets me. You can be seated this morning. I'm sorry for a little bit longer in our announcements this morning, but we do have just church business sometimes we have to take care of, and I have one more order of business before I speak this morning that I would like to cover. Brother Jerry Simmons has been on our pastoral team for about 6 years now, and he has been a real asset to our pastoral team. But him and Sister Lindsay they've started a preaching point, a daughter work that we have in DeForest and Windsor area, and they want to focus more on that preaching point. They have their services at 2:38 in the afternoon. It's called Acts 2:38 is the name of their church plant, and so they start their service at 2:38. Many of you are involved in that live in that area. But we'd like for Jerry and Lindsay to come at this time, and I just want to let them know that I appreciate them. Sister Lindsay is still our ladies' minister. They're not going anywhere, but we love and appreciate Jerry and Lindsay Simmons. Brother Jerry, I love you, brother. I appreciate you, my friend. We have some flowers for Sister Lindsay and some gift bags. We love you. We appreciate you. They're still here. They're not leaving. They're not going anywhere. Just as some of you have asked, what's Sister Lois and I going to do in retirement? We're not leaving. We're not going to be going anywhere. This is our church home. This is our church family. And we still want to be a part of it. As I've said, I just don't want to be the bus driver anymore. Ready to pass that responsibility on. So next Wednesday night, as I said, we'll have a question and answer. That service will not be live broadcasted on the internet, as we do with all of our services. And so if you want to be involved in that, just make sure that you are here in person. I want to talk to this morning a message that God had given me a number of years ago, and sometimes it's a little while before you fit things in and get things all into the schedule and such, but I want to talk about the power of restoration, the power of restoration. A while back, this past few weeks, I was laid up for a bit. I had some kidney stones. I don't know if any of you have ever had a kidney stone, but I'm here to tell you, they are like the absolute worst thing that you could ever have. But so I was laid up a little while, and I'm just telling you, I don't do sick very well. I have a hard time laying in bed for any period of time. I get very impatient, and so hours on end, and you're in pain and such. But during this time, as I was recovering from some of this, and you get a little bit bored, and you turn on the TV or whatever, and YouTube, and I watched a lot of YouTube, and there's this reality show on YouTube, and I'm sure it's probably on all kinds of reality TV, but it comes from Las Vegas, and it's got a guy on there. I don't even remember his name, but I think the name of the YouTube show was Talk About Counting Cars. And what happened was, if you had an old beater car and you wanted it restored, or they would drive around Vegas and look for old cars, and they would restore. And in one of the episodes, I watched quite a few episodes, but one that stuck out to me the most was a couple had gotten married back in 1966. And they had bought a Ford convertible Mustang on the before they had gotten married, and they wanted this car restored. So they brought it in to the count, I believe. I don't even know what his name was, but they brought it in to Counting Cars and said, "We want a frame-up restoration." Well, a frame-up restoration basically means you take the vehicle apart, bolt by bolt, and you put it back into its original state. Now, in the process of all of this, they found out that the frame was severely rusted and someone had taken a 2x4 and driven it up into the frame rail and foamed it in with expandable foam. So they're looking at all of this stuff, and by the time it was all done and the couple comes to pick their car up and they roll their car up, they had a 1966 completely restored Ford Mustang that was absolutely beautiful. Convertible, red with red and white interior. Restoration, a beautiful car. Thousands of man hours went in to what they had done. So we look at restoring something. The restoration, the art of restoring, the task of restoring. Putting something back. Righting something that's wrong. Practice, custom, reinstate, reestablish, return something to a former condition, a place, or position. It can be very costly to completely restore something. You watch, and you can watch these reality shows, and they restore large homes, a big Victorian house, and they can spend thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars putting something back into its original former condition. Restoration is expensive, has an extreme price tag attached to it, but I want to tell you something this morning, that our God is in the restoration business. God is a God of restoration. He's a God today that is seeking to restore whatever you have lost, whatever has rusted, whatever has faded, deteriorated in your life. God is here to restore. He's restoring many things to the church. We look, and I believe we are in the last of last days, but he's restoring his word. There is a fresh anointing of his word being poured out over his church. He's restoring his word to his people, and he's restoring the doctrine of salvation through repentance and baptism in the Holy Spirit, and he's restoring holiness, because without holiness, Scripture tells us no man can see God. He's restoring the fear of the Lord back into the church. And he's restored to the body the ministry of the gifts of the Spirit. We just finished the series on ministry gifts of the Spirit. He's restoring praise and worship. God also desires to restore us as individuals, that which the enemy, that which Satan has taken from us and stolen from us. We must understand something today. We are fighting a spiritual battle, and you are in it whether you want to be in it or not. And everything in this universe belongs to my God. Nothing belongs to Satan. We give in far too easy to the enemy of our souls, but nothing on this planet belongs to him. God put us in the garden and gave us dominion over the plants, the animals, and everything on the earth, including Satan himself. But so many times we allow our money to be stolen. We allow our property, our relationships. We must understand the prophet Haggai states in his writings in Haggai 2:8, he's stating that the silver is mine, the gold is mine. Everything on this planet, everything I have created, God is saying, it is mine. Proverbs 13:22 tells us, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Money can be restored. Property can be restored. Broken down cars, stripped painting, old houses can all be restored. And I want to tell you today that yes, relationships can be restored. But one thing, I want you to listen to me very closely today. One thing that can never be restored is time. Time flies and it does not return. Years pass and we never get them back. I've had a lot of time lately to reflect, reflecting over the years of my life. And it's hard to believe that I'm over 60 years old. I'm looking at retirement and life is not slowing down. And time, what we once thought we had an unlimited supply of when we were 20 years old, suddenly seems to be very fleeting. Once it's used up, it will never return. The moments that you have here today when you walk out of this church at 12 noon or a few minutes after and you begin your afternoon activities, the time you spent here will never return. You will never get it back. The time you spend this afternoon doing whatever you're doing, you will never get it back. Once time is spent, it is gone forever. We look at the clock on the back wall. It's 11:36 and thirds in 1 second. Now we're at 11:37 and 4 seconds and counting. It will not come back. Once it's gone, it's gone. What we once thought we had a limiting supply of is seemingly gone. Yet God seemingly promises to all of humanity the impossible. As I was reading this passage of scripture, this struck up a chord in me. And if we read in Joel chapter 2:25, it says, I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. And Joel goes on to explain himself in that passage. You can look it up and you can read it later, but the immediate meaning of this promise is clear. God's people had suffered complete destruction. Their entire harvest was gone through swarms of locusts that marched through like an army to their fields, destroying their crops, multiplying their numbers as they went, and for 4 years in a row, the harvest was completely wiped out. Imagine yourself going to Piggly Wiggly, and for the next 4 years, every time you went into the store, the shelves were bare and there was nothing there. And it got bleaker and bleaker because the hunger began to set in and the reality that there is nothing at Piggly Wiggly, there's nothing at Woodman's. Every grocery store shelf is empty. We are relying on whatever surplus that we may have or whatever we can scrounge. But you see, God's people were brought to their knees in more ways than one, because when we look at what God, the conversation Joel is having with God in this chapter, God says the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. And he says, behold, I am sending you grain, I am sending you wine and oil, and you will be satisfied. In the coming years, God said, their fields would yield an abundance that would make up for what has been lost. The threshing floor shall be full of grain, and the vat shall be overflowing with wine and oil, and you shall eat plenty and be satisfied. You may be sitting here today, and you may be 4 years or more of desolation going on in your life, and the enemy has robbed you time and time again of your harvest, of your livelihood, of your paychecks, and you're tired and sick and tired of the enemy taking from you something that belongs to you. I am here to tell you that today the years of desolation brought about by the locust can come to an end. This wonderful promise that God made for his people back thousands of years ago meant that years of abundant harvest would follow the years of desolation brought about by the locust. But also God put this promise in his word today, and that is the promise of restoration, the promise of the lost years of our lives. You may say, Pastor, what are you talking about? What do you mean by lost years? What do lost years look like for us here today? Lost years are locust years. They're years that you and I can't get back, and they come in many different varieties. When I look at the lost years of my life, they were fruitless years. A lot of hard work was done in the years. I did a lot of things. I accomplished a lot of me things. I worked hard. I built a home. I built a place for my family. I invested in my career, but I wasn't putting anything into the kingdom in those years. After everything was destroyed, as the people have thought, all this work. Maybe you've been working so hard on building a life that you have forgotten to make a living, or you've been building a living, you've forgotten, how to live your life. Some of you know this pain in the world of business, a failed venture, a bad investment, maybe misguided advice, and all the effort that you put in day to day, month by month, and year by year. That trap which leads and only leads to massive disappointment, and you think, what has come of all of my time and all of my efforts? When we look at lost years, and I reference my own life, and lost years are painful years. I'm thinking of those who perhaps have lost your future. Maybe you've lost your job, your career. Maybe your home has been foreclosed on. Maybe you've lost a loved one and you're struggling to move on beyond that. But now you fear the coming years may be empty. I'm thinking of those who have to live with illness in your body or in your mind, and you assume that you would always be able to do what you always used to do, but you cannot find a way to live with the disappointment that you have, and lost years are selfish years. During the lost years of my life, they were very selfish. They were very self-centered years. I did what appealed to me, and I did what I wanted, and I got what I wanted. Perhaps you're sitting here this morning, and there's no doubt you've repeated this thousands and thousands of times, your thoughts seemingly wandering the way they often do, and I wish I would have stayed away from this, and I wish I wouldn't have made that decision, and I can't believe I got trapped into that, and you've made a commitment, but that was years ago, and maybe you looked at your life, and you tried at one time to start living for God, but it just didn't fit into your schedule. Over time, time has come and time has gone, and that commitment begins to wane. It's easier. You miss church once, and then you miss it twice, and then you miss a whole week of it, and then you miss 2 weeks of it, and after 3 weeks, it's a whole lot easier to miss the fourth week. And that passion that you once possessed, perhaps your faith in Jesus Christ was a major portion of your life, filled with all the things that you desired and the things you wanted to pursue, yet your life remains empty. Then one day God gets a hold of your life and challenges you through life's circumstances. Some of you are here today listening to this message, or that a month or 2 months or 3 months ago, you couldn't imagine yourself here, but you're here today simply because of life's circumstances, and you have become spiritually awakened. You look at the world around you and you see things changing, and it puts fear into your heart, as it should. We look into the scripture, into Matthew, in a parable of the prodigal son, and I'm not going to get into that in any detail, but the prodigal son, there's a line in that whole passage, and the line says, and he came to himself. I just want to let you know today that we all have those come to Jesus moments. And we say to ourselves, what in the world have I been doing? There's no substance in my life. I want my life to count. I want to make a difference. But why do I feel as though my life has been nothing but one difficult circumstance after circumstance after circumstance? I want my life to be and have everlasting meaning. I want my life to have more meaning than just the here and the now. I want my life to have eternal purpose. I want to count for Christ. I want to make it count for Christ. I want to live in the power of the Spirit. I want to make a difference in my world. I want to put the locusts out of my life. And we look at it sometimes, and the locusts have eaten up half of our life, and they've eaten away and wasted all the years that we've wasted. When we look at lost years, by in part, our loveless years. Division comes to a family. Alienating loved ones. Children grow up. I'm here to tell you, parents, we have a baby dedication next Sunday, and I've been praying about what to teach. Baby dedications are more about dedicating parents than they are about children. I begin to put some things together, and as I begin to put them together, I begin to reflect upon my own life. And let me tell you something, life can go by so fast. Children can grow up, and those years cannot be recovered. A marriage quietly endures in which love has been burning low for many years. And you see a couple who are really in love, and you think to yourself, I wish I could be loved like that. Or I wish I could love like that. Or maybe you've not met that person you would like to meet. And you feel like the years are moving on and you can never get them back. Because the locust, the cankerworm, the palmer worm have eaten them. In my life, my lost years, they were rebellious years. I grew up with many blessings. I grew up in a pastor's home. We never went hungry. I grew up with many blessings, but you see, somewhere along the line in my heart, I began to rebel against God and rebel against what I knew and what I was taught, what I was raised up. Maybe you don't fully understand this urge on how far away that it can lead you. But you gave yourself to that instead of bringing you pleasure. Instead of bringing you what you thought it was going to be. All it did was bring you pain. And then you try to hide that pain. Masked in self-denial of your own deceit. Hear me now, church. I'm speaking to someone here this morning. Now you look back at all those years with regret. Those lost years, misdirected, losing your direction in life. Those lost years. We think if I'd only made different decisions, if I'd only chosen a different path, but that moment, it's gone. I can't change what has happened. Those lost years, those locust years, are years without Christ in your life. The point is worth thinking about if you have not yet made a commitment to Jesus Christ. Ask anyone who has finally committed to Christ in the later years of their life, and they will tell you that they wish they had come and serve Jesus Christ much sooner. I look at the years in my life, and I seem to have a before and then a middle and an after. And that middle section of my life, those years that were the formable years from 25 to 35, pushing 40, I struggled so hard. Oh, the foolishness I could have avoided. How much more good might have been done through my life. We have to understand something today. as I begin to reflect over this passage, all is not hopeless. All is not hopeless. Take heart, there is hope because Jesus Christ can restore your lost locust years. And he does it through three simple principles found in his word. You see, God can restore your lost years by deepening your communion with him. That's why you're here. You're here because you're looking for something that you have been missing. Joel 2:27 says, "For you shall know, for I am the Lord, for I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God." Today we can personalize this, "For you shall know that I am in the midst of my people." I am in the midst of Calvary Gospel Church this morning, and I am your Lord and your God. You see, these people had endured so much. They enjoyed a communion with the Lord that was far greater than anything they had ever known before. Jesus Christ can restore lost years by deepening your fellowship with him. You see, this is why Jesus Christ died on the cross. Sister Jessica covered this so well in our adult Bible class this morning. He died on the cross. He rose again. Why did he die and why did he rise, come back from the dead? Why did he rise again? Why? He did all of that to restore. What did he do that to restore? What? To restore relationship, to restore fellowship. That's why Jesus Christ did what he did. So why not ask him for this today? Tell him, sit while you're sitting here thinking about what I'm saying. Tell this to God in your mind. Tell him, "Lord, I have spent too many years without you, too many years at a distance from you. And today, Lord, can you fill my heart with love and gratitude for relationship with you? Can you build that back, Lord?" Let the loss of all these years make your love for him greater than it has ever been. Restore to me the years the locusts have eaten. And please listen today. God can restore lost years by simply multiplying your fruitfulness. This is what hit me. You know, God doesn't need 25 years of your life to work miracles in your life. Now, if you give him 25 years, the more he has of your life, the more he can do. But you see, the harvest for Israel had been wiped out for 4 years. 4 years, nothing. Nothing. Their corn, their beans, their barley, their wheat, nothing. But God restored the years that the locusts had eaten by giving bumper harvests. You see, this provision makes me think about the principles found in the parable where Jesus spoke about the harvest that could be 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. Understand something here today. There's a huge difference between these three harvests. 3 years at 100-fold is as much fruit as a decade at 30-fold. So why not ask for this today? "Lord, the locusts have eaten too many years of my life, and you have called me, you have called us to be your disciples, to bear fruit that will last, and too many fruitless years have passed. Now, Lord, we ask you, give us some of those years in which more lasting fruit will be born. than all of our years of small harvests. Do you believe God can do that? I believe a revival is coming. Revival is coming, and it is going to blow our minds at the size of the harvest that God wants to bring into his fold before he returns. God can restore lost years. Listen to me. God can restore lost years by bringing long-term gain from a short-term loss. Peter writes to us in 1 Peter 1:7, the effects of these great trials in your life will be that tested genuineness of your faith may result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I just want to praise God. The praise, the glory, and honor go to Jesus Christ because his power guards us. His power keeps us through the hardest years of our life. And as our musicians come and you can stand to your feet, thinking about years that the locust has eaten, years that have been taken, my mind goes all the way back, and this ties in with Sister Jessica's message. When she was talking about this morning, I was thinking about the closing of my message today. My mind goes all the way back into the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 8, Isaiah says he was cut off out of the land of living. This is a prophetical reference to Jesus Christ. Here we have our Lord and Savior in the prime of his life. He'd started ministry at 30 years old, and he was 33 years old. And you would think that a man launching a new enterprise at the age of 30, 33, in his prime age, had everything in front of him. But the prophet Isaiah says he was cut off. He was cut off. You see, he was cut off because he came under the judgment of God, not for his own sins, not for anything he had done, because he had no sin, but he was cut off for you and for me and for our sins. Our sins, our griefs, and our sorrows were laid on him. Our judgment, our punishment. Fell on him. Putting this into context with Joel chapter 2, our locusts swarmed all over him. And the life of God's tender shoot was cut off and destroyed, crucified. Oh, but he didn't stay there. He didn't stay there. On the third day, the Son of God rose in the power and the authority. He declared all power, all authority, heavens and earth and under the earth, all authority and power is mine. You see, he rose in the power of eternal life. And thus today he offers himself to you and I. And he says what no one else could ever say. Now one person in this building can give you this promise and keep it. But God is looking at each and every one of us today. And he says, I will restore. I will restore. I can restore all those lost, wasted years. You think time is an impossibility. It is for you, but it's not for me. I can increase your harvest. Instead of tenfold or 20-fold, I can give you 30, 40, 60, 100. I can take the rest of your life and make it more productive than every year prior to. I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten, and I will give back to you what the enemy has devoured. Church, that's the power of restoration. And my God, our God, is in the restoration business. So where does this leave us today? You want to restore? You want to be restored?